Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Cases. 1.1 million here in the United States, 18,000 in the state of Indiana. 239,000 deaths worldwide, 66,000 here in the United States, over 1,100 here in Indiana. As I was reflecting on these numbers this past week, it's easy to ask the question, where was God? And as I thought about that question, two stories came to mind. So the first story is from a longtime friend of mine, Jim Welter. Now, Jim worked for many years at a parish in Indianapolis on the northwest side of town as a pastoral associate. And every week, he would write a reflection on Scripture, different Scripture passages. And after he had retired from this job, he realized he had the basis of a book. And so he pulled all of those Scripture reflections together. But the one I'm thinking of involves the story of his niece, who at 18 years of age died in a car accident. Jim was asked to offer reflection the night of the wake. And he began with that same question. Where was God when my niece died? The second is actually not necessarily a story, but a poem that I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. It's interesting, when I was researching this poem this past week, there is a dispute upon who actually wrote it, when it was written, but it seems like it was written around the time I was born. And for you kids out there, that's been a long, long, long time ago. But the poem is called Footprints in the Sand. And of course, it has to do with the person that is walking along the beach and Jesus is walking by his side, and he sees up in the air scenes of his life flashing by as he and Jesus walks down the beach. And then when the last scene goes by, he turns around, looks over his shoulders, and notices that every now and then, instead of two sets of footprints in the sand, there's only one. as he notes that it is in the most challenging times of his life that there's only one sect. He turned to Jesus and says, "Why did you abandon me during my time of greatest need?" To each of these stories, we respond out of faith with the image of the Good Shepherd. The fourth Sunday of Easter is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. We heard it from John's Gospel about how the Good Shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep are able to only enter into that community, into that sheepfold, through him. It's a great analogy for the church. But there's also another image of the shepherd, one that has been popularized by artwork throughout the years, and that has to do with the parable of the shepherd going off, leaving the 99 sheep that are safe, and going after the one who was lost. And of course, we imagine Jesus finding that lost sheep, putting that sheep on his shoulders, and carrying him back to the safety of the rest. That is the image of the Good Shepherd that I think responds to each of these stories. Because at the end of that poem, Footprints in the Sand, Jesus turns to the man and says, "My beloved, I have never abandoned you. But in those times of your greatest needs, I picked you up and carried you. That's why there was only one set of footprints." As Jim concluded his reflection that night of the wake, he went back to that question, where was God? God was beside that road, ready to carry his niece up to heaven. Once again, the Good Shepherd taking care of his sheep. And I think that analogy works as well as we reflect upon those hundreds of thousands of people who have died, upon those millions of people who have contracted this virus, some of them suffering quite severely. Where was God? He was with them. Just as the shepherd watches out for his sheep and protects them with his life, Jesus' promise made at the end of Matthew's Gospel, "I am with you always until the end of the age." He is with us, even in the midst of this time of suffering, even in the midst of this time of death. He is truly with us. That is what we, of course, rely upon, knowing that Jesus loves us and continues to be present, even among this time. Good Shepherd Sunday tends to be a time when we pray for priests and more vocations of the priesthood. But I wanted to take this moment to point out something. And once you receive this week's criterion in the mail, you'll be able to see the two stories that I am referring to. Early on in this crisis, the leadership of the Archdiocese discerned, how can we continue to minister and keep our priests safe, most especially to those who are dying? And so the answer came down that there would be a select list or group of priests scattered throughout the archdiocese. They would be the ones who would be charged with giving last rites to those who were actively dying. Now, to protect these priests, they have been provided with a complete set of personal protection equipment. And in fact, there's a picture inside the criterion of Father Singel, who is out at my old stomping grounds in Richmond, covered head to toe with his protective gear, looking more like a lab tech in an infectious control center than a priest. For the rest of us priests, and by the way, I am not on that list, but for the rest of us priests, when we receive a call of a parishioner or someone who is actively dying, we contact one of them to go. These priests have been selected because they are younger, in some cases young. They have no existing health conditions that could be exacerbated by if they were to get infected. And of course, they were provided with that protective gear. Here in the New Albany Deanery, Father Jeremy Grease, the pastor of Holy Family here in New Albany, and Father Matt Tucci, the administrator of St. Augustine and Sacred Heart in Jeffersonville, are the true priests that we contact. I've already had to contact both of them on at least three occasions to do this important work. They continue to provide that sacrament of comfort to people who are ready to make the journey from this life. They truly deserve our thanks for being good shepherds. And so as we continue this celebration of the Eucharist, we give thanks to God for the gift of Mary, his mother, who we celebrate during this month of May. And we also thank him for his son, Jesus, the good shepherd. He takes that role quite seriously, even to giving up his own life so that he may be raised from the dead, throw open the gates of heaven, and lead all his sheep to eternal life in heaven.